Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first video games podcast of 2012. And since it's the first video games podcast, we have new music. And the music you heard was the song Backlash by Mizuki's Last Chance. You'll find links to his shit in the description, and my mom is talking to me. What? For fuck's sake, women. Okay, so.
Are we going to restart?
Fuck that. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. With over 100,000 audiobooks, including some New York Times bestsellers, Audible is your one-stop shop for all your electronic literature needs. Go to audibletrial.com/deathdoorparaz to sign up for a free 14-day trial and to get yourself a free audiobook. That is audibletrial.com/deathdoorparaz. Also, Busted Tees. Started in 2004 by the College Humor People. Started in 2007, I guess. Yeah, 2007. No, 2004. Four. Yes, 2004 by the College Humor People. Busted Tees has been bringing you awesome and hilarious graphic t-shirts for 8 years now, because it's 2012, bitches. Click the link in the description below to grab yourself a grab bag of Busted Tees. That is four t-shirts for $30, which will save yourself 60% of the total cost of it. So that's four shirts, $30, in the description. Also, we have our own shit. Go to deathdoorprods.com/store to get some t-shirts, hoodies, bags, umbrellas, pillowcases, and bed sheets.
I removed those last three. They're gone.
I know, but I'm still gonna keep ripping on you for fucking putting umbrellas, pillowcases, and bed sheets. As always, I'm your host, the Dead Man. Joining me today, as always, we have Obi-Wan.
Bed sheets are a good idea.
And Shax on his phone because Skype keeps fucking up on his computer. Is it fucking up on your phone now?
Yeah, Skype, fuck them right now. They've been pissed. No, but whole situation.
I guess it's a good thing then that we were denied the Skype affiliate program.
Yeah, God forbid they give us when Shax is having trouble with them.
I'm just saying, like, it'd be kind of a bitch, like a slap in the face. Like, hey, this show's brought to you by Skype. Oh, fuck them. Well, yeah, so today's show is going to be a bit longer than usual because we're going to be doing our awards for 2011. We're not going to be doing our thing like best this game, best that game, best use of this. It's just going to be our top five, and then we'll be doing, and then from that, we will determine our top three for the site. So I guess we shall start with Obi-Wan, since we're doing these alphabetically.
All right. So I'm going to say right out that I didn't play a lot of 2011 release games. There were only three I've played that I liked. So number four and five on my list are games I haven't played, but I think they look like they'll be really good. So I'll start right off with my number five, which is Skyward Sword. While I have my issues with the graphic look of the game, I think the controls look cool, and I am a Zelda fan myself, so I'm going to play it eventually. No comments?
No.
I guess I should move on?
No, dude, all right. It's fucking Zelda.
Yeah. So either you will like it or you will not.
Like,
That's like simple.
Zelda's the one thing that I kind of wish that I was still into, but I'm not.
Yeah, Zelda's the kind of thing that I tried to get into. Like, I actually did make an effort to get into it. Like, I actually sat down for hours with Ocarina of Time, just like, alright, so I'm going to play this, Oh, God, I'm bored.
Yeah, I can see how it might do that to you.
Yeah, so,
anyways.
Number four.
Number four on my list is Batman Arkham City. I've heard so many really good reviews about it. It looks like it is amazingly fun to play.
It's very good reviews, such as the Deathdoor Pros review, which gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah. So it's definitely something I would enjoy playing. I will play it as soon as I have some money at my disposal. So on to my number three.
These are the games you've actually played.
Yes. Battlefield 3, which is actually something you can watch me play on the site, and you can watch the Let's Ridicule, which is Deadman and Shax making fun of me Those ones are much more enjoyable to watch than the actual Let's Plays.
Yes, he's bad at the game.
A little bit, yeah. Anyways, so I played the multiplayer a lot more than I played the single-player campaign, because it's a pain in the ass to actually do the Let's Play videos with my current setup.
Plus, it's a fucking Battlefield game.
Yeah, it's all about the multiplayer. I also played the multiplayer beta, which wasn't too glitchy.
It was so awesome. I once was hiding behind some bushes, I fired a rocket out of them, and then the bushes cloned and stretched out.
Yeah, the biggest thing I ever happened with glitches with the beta was the fluorescent lights would start following me. which was, you know, always kind of funny. But it definitely gave away my position. But yeah, I enjoy the multiplayer. I think it's a more tactical version of Modern Warfare, really. It does have a higher death amount and more of a learning curve. So if you like, in Modern Warfare, just being able to run around, take a bunch of bullets, and deal a lot of death, this game's probably not going to be so much for you. If you value more the actual teamwork aspect, the idea of actually holding positions in a somewhat tactical manner, then it's probably going to be more your style. So, moving on to my number two is Portal 2. Although I will say it was the best DLC of the year, definitely. It's the only DLC I downloaded in a while because it was free. But Portal 2 was a great addition to the storyline with the single-player campaign. I do find the co-op campaign, while it was mostly good, was a little bit overhyped. Just in the idea of doing the co-op, the tests tended to be a little bit easier just because it was co-op, and I guess the developers figured there'd be extra challenge in having two people go through it. And it always seemed that GLaDOS was trying to lead up to a point where you might actually be joining in with the main storyline, especially considering that at the end of the single-player campaign, you see Atlas and Peabody there in the room, so I figured that the co-op was kind of working me into the storyline, but it wasn't at all. So that was a little bit annoying, but otherwise, Portal 2 was very enjoyable. I got a lot of good play out of it. And so, on to my number one, which is Skyrim.
Obviously.
Needless to say, I've been looking forward to Skyrim forever, because I have played countless hours of Oblivion. Actually, once before I bought Oblivion, I borrowed it for a couple weeks, and within that time, it became the most played game on my Xbox. that's how much I love Oblivion, and so Skyrim just takes everything that's great about Oblivion and makes it better. And I've noticed that they've taken some elements from other games, like cooking. I can say cooking and mining and smelting, all that kind of almost seems to come from RuneScape, which is not a great game, but there are good aspects to take out of it.
RuneScape.
I know, it's evil, but yeah, some good aspects have been pulled out of that, brought into Skyrim. The dual wielding with spells just always reminds me of BioShock.
With the dual firebolt, it just reminds me of Street Fighter.
Yeah, but whenever I've got a weapon and a spell, it just makes you feel so much like it's BioShock. But yeah, that's a great emblem to take from that game.
Okay.
But yeah, Skyrim is really good.
Yes, so that is Bogey's number one. That's Bogey's top five now, and mine. So, my number five is Mortal Kombat. So, I have really gotten into fighting games over the last year or two, and Mortal Kombat was one of the best I've played in a while. Like, just the story mode itself, it actually has a story. It actually has a coherent story with beginning, middle, and end. And it sets a standard that other game story modes probably won't be able to live up to.
Right.
There is still that arcade mode where you just fight the ladder and then get that still frame ending thing. And it's got the challenge tower, which is great for introducing people to all the different systems and stuff. And it helps It actually shows, like, really interesting ways to fight the guys. Like, there's a bunch of them where, like, there's one I'm currently stuck on where you're playing as Cyrax, and he's, like, has, like, a glitch that causes him to slow down. So, like, every second, it's, like, every second he moves, like, 2% slower. So then actually gets to the point where you're, like, hitting attack, and then he's, like, but you're fighting right, and then he's still moving at normal speed. So that's really cool. Like, the fatalities are awesome. The X-rays are a great addition to it. The combos are really great. And, dude, you can play as fucking Freddy Krueger. I know that's really stupid, but I fucking love Freddy.
If only it was the Robert Englund one.
Yes, it kind of sucks that it is Jackie Earle Haley, but, you know, he did a good Freddy. He was the one bearable thing in that movie.
I would concede that point.
Yeah. Okay, so, moving on to my number four, Skyrim. So I know everyone's like putting Skyrim at like the top of their list and stuff, but for me, games need more structure than Skyrim. It is fun. Like, I'm not denying that. It is fun to be like walking through the street.
You're a fucking troll.
It is fun to be able to walk through the streets of Markarth and then all of a sudden have a guard while he's in the middle of telling you how he got an arrow in the knee fall through the floor. And then like go around like mace dragons to death with the mace of Moleg Ball and absorb their souls. But it's just, there's so much shit to do in that game. You just kind of get overloaded. I kind of get overloaded at some point. Skyrim is definitely an amazing game, but for me, it's only number four.
Right.
Yeah, so moving on to number three, Saints Row the Third. You can beat dudes to death with a giant dildo. That is all.
And then, therefore, it beats Skyrim? Okay, I'm not gonna... I'll leave you be.
Yeah, dude, beat dudes to death with a giant dildo. A grenade type is a fart in a jar. A grenade type is a fart in a jar. You get to play as a toilet. You have a fucking laser rifle.
You're really fixated on that giant dildo. We've heard about it like 10 times now. Yeah, it's a giant dildo, and I'm sure you love your giant dildos.
If I had the money, I would have bought one of the real-life giant dildos they made.
I'm not surprised at that.
I would just roll around the house. I would beat my dog with that. I would run over to my neighbor's house and just smack him in the face with it.
Okay, so Dead Man has some weird sexual fantasies.
Dude, it's fucking Saints Row, man. I fucking love it.
So let's get these disturbing thoughts out of my mind and move on to your number two.
Man.
My number two, Batman Arkham City. So Batman Arkham Asylum was, I'm pretty sure, my number one game of 2010. And so, like, this game, while it did add some kind of stupid shit, it kept the core of what made Arkham Asylum awesome. And it did add some really interesting stuff, like, just the amount of villains is fucking insane. I mean, it's got fucking Deadshot and Catwoman and Penguin and Hush and it's got fucking everybody, man. Killer Croc shows up just to say, stay out of my sewers. Like, you don't even fight him, he's just like, rah, Killer Croc, peace. Still, man, Mr. Freeze is in it. God, it just, the game is fucking amazing. Yeah, so moving on to my number one, Portal 2. So Portal was fantastic, it was hilarious, it was amazing, like the non-Euclidean physics got going on in that game. Portal 2 adds to that, it makes it way more insane. It's fucking, you want to go to space. I've not gotten a chance to get into the co-op yet, but just the single player alone puts this into my number one game.
We'll Xbox Live it sometime.
I have it on PC.
Oh, you suck.
Yeah, I got it for Christmas.
Whoever gave it to you for Christmas sucks.
So Dan Rainish of CBC Saskatchewan. Number one game, Portal 2. So, Shax, your top five. Shax.
All right, my number five, what?
Go.
Hello?
Yeah, I think there's a delay on you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah! Can you hear us?
Perfect.
God damn it.
I hear you, but yes, I believe there is a delay.
Okay then, so this is going swimmingly.
Ah, thank you, Skype.
Yes, so just do your fucking list.
Okay, my number five. My number five is Portal 2. I I love the game. It's good. I would have thought that it would have been hard to take a game that should be exactly the same game as the first one and make it better or different, but Valve did an excellent job with it. They found a way to add in new characters and not have it seem contrived. And, yeah, it was just a blast. The puzzles were fun. I mean, everything about it was fun. I played very little co-op, and that was decent. I mean, I don't think it was a strong point, but it wasn't horrible. My number four is Resistance 3. For a while thereafter, I played that. I was kind of thinking that maybe giving it a 5 out of 5 was a little too nice. But then when I was thinking about it for my top 10, or in this case, top 5, it's 5 out of 5. It's a brilliant, brilliant game. I didn't play the multiplayer at all, unfortunately. But the single player is just so good, and rethinking about how good it was and the shit they put you through in that game, it was just, I found it to be amazing storytelling in one way or another. I mean, whether it was just the cutscenes or the scraps of paper you find laying around that were like handwritten and it looked handwritten, made you feel like you were actually looking at someone's note about looking for their brother or sister or a child asking about their mother. It was just really amazing. Yeah, great, great game. Number three is Uncharted 3. Naughty Dog makes these games amazing. The set pieces are outstanding. The sceneries are amazingly beautiful, and the characters are just some of the greatest characters ever in video game history. I don't think there's characters in a game that I care about as much as I do Nathan Drake and Sully and Alina. They're just amazing characters. I really love them, and the games are awesome. I know Uncharted 3 had some problems with the shooting mechanics. I never found them to be a big problem. Like I said before, when I talked about this on one of the other podcasts for gaming, the shooting mechanics felt kind of weird to me, but I just felt like maybe I was out of touch with the shooting mechanics for Uncharted and kind of got used to them and found myself doing fine after a while. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, great game. My number two is Star Wars The Old Republic. Now, I was not going to add this to my top 10 list, being that it's an MMO, and usually MMOs take a long time to really get a good grasp on what you're dealing with. But it only took me a couple of days to realize that I was loving this game. I am so addicted to The Old Republic. It's amazing. I love everything about it. This is a great game, and if you're a Star Wars fan, you owe it to yourself to play this game. It's just, it's everything you'd want from a BioWare Couture-type game. Yeah, it's awesome. And my number one, I'm with Bovi here, Skyrim. It's one of the greatest games I've ever played. Like what he was talking about with the addition of, like, mining and stuff like that and cooking. I feel like they made it. Just that alone, not even talking about anything else that they added, that stuff alone really made it feel like a home to me. And I kind of felt, when playing Skyrim, I kind of understood what people were talking about when they were talking about Morrowind as being a home. I never played Morrowind, but I got a sense of I possibly understand what they were coming from. It's an amazing game. It does get, the quests do get a little crazy, you know, like my quest list is full of fucking quests, and I can't remember one from the other. I'm always looking at it, and I'm like, what does this quest do? I don't know. And, yeah, it gets a little crazy, and I understand that the PS3 version is apparently completely busted, but I've had hardly any problems with it with my PS3. Thank God. I don't know what I'd do if I had all the problems that I've heard about. But, yeah, I've had no real problems with it.
You know what? They're probably going to they're probably going to patch those in, like, a week to a month. Well, a few weeks to a month is what I'm going to say. Maybe a couple months at the most. They're going to patch all that, probably. Probably. Not going to guarantee it. I can't. I'm not Bethesda.
Okay. So, from our lists that we've gotten, I have been able to determine that number three game of the year is Star Wars The Old Republic, followed by Portal 2 at number 2, and Death at Door game of the year is Skyrim. How's that sound? Hello?
I was just letting Shax catch up.
Oh.
I can hear what he hears.
This is going to be so boring. There's like, there's going to be like huge gaps in the conversation of just us going, launch X, hurry up. Okay, so Shax, when you catch up, how does that sound? Number 3, Old Republic. Number 2, Portal 2. And number 1, Skyrim.
I already said that it sounds cool with me, so I don't know why you haven't heard it yet.
I did not hear you say anything about that sounds cool. I heard, eh, and then you were listening to us talking to you.
Yeah, I may have been talking at the same time as him, though.
Yeah, you just kept, like, going and then stopping and then kept on going. Like, never giving him a chance. Like, he was going to talk and then you just kept talking. That's so weird, I can hear myself through his head.
Alright, yeah, so that sounds cool with me.
Okay, so then, on to our most anticipated games of 2012. And since we did it in, right, in alphabetical order, let's this time do it in reverse alphabetical order. So, Shax, what are your 10 most anticipated gaming things of this year?
Just things in general, or just games?
Games and game-related things, like hardware, too.
I need to wait for you to answer that question. Okay, really, I don't know. I don't have them in any order at all. Mass Effect 3 is my most anticipated game. Let's see, I'm hoping The Last Guardian comes out this year. The PlayStation Vita, obviously, I'm really, really looking forward to getting that. With that, I want to get Uncharted Golden Abyss. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, hopefully hearing about a new Xbox and a new PlayStation. I guess, that's it right now, or The Last of Us. I believe that is I think that's supposed to come out this year.
Yeah, I think so.
Hopefully that does. And Assassin's Creed 3. Hopefully Ubisoft will make something better with Assassin's Creed 3. Maybe push the technology a little bit farther, the gameplay a little bit farther, and the story. Hopefully they can get that going better.
Okay, is that it?
Yep.
Okay, so there's about a 5-second delay on anything we say to Shax.
Noted.
Okay, so I guess moving on to me. So again, these are in no particular order whatsoever, but we're really looking forward to Never Dead. I posted a trailer back when we were doing our Fatal E3 coverage, and that game looks fucking insane. It's like, you're a demon hunter, but you can't die, so that you get, like, your arms and limbs blown off, and there's like a stump just, like, wheeling around on the floor trying to get your arms and leg back. And it looks insane. We got Darkness 2, which, I was a big fan of the original Darkness. It was really cool, like, with all the Darkness powers and stuff, and it looks like with Darkness 2 they are expanding that out in a really cool way that I'm really looking forward to. Azura's Wrath. That was a fucking insane, like, you're using, like, 20 stone arms to punch the finger of a giant space Buddha out of the Earth's atmosphere. So, yeah, that's awesome. We got the PlayStation Vita, obviously. I'm a big fan of the PSP, and it looks like the PSP better. Mass Effect 3, obviously. Big fan of the Mass Effect series. Beat 1 and 2, and they're both awesome and insane. And I cannot wait for the Reaper Invasion of Earth. Then we also have Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and subsequently, Tekken Cross Street Fighter. I'm a big fan of Super Street Fighter 4, and this is that big for the Tekken guys. And the only real experience I had with Tekken was Tekken 3 when I got to play the little dinosaur that farted on people. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward. I'm really interested in seeing how they introduce the Tekken mechanics into Street Fighter. How they introduce Street Fighter and Tekken, because with Street Fighter Cross Tekken, it's Lock 2D, but it's also a tag game. So that's going to be cool. But it's going to be weird having Street Fighter in, having three-dimensional space and you'd be able to shift along different axes. Because this is a problem I have with some of the latter, Mortal Kombat 4 to 8. Was having those in two, have, Mortal Kombat that to Mortal Kombat vs. DCU. Was having projectiles with multiple axes pretty much negates any effect that projectiles have. Because if you can throw a Hadouken, if you can just sidestep and step into the background, it just kind of takes away all real effect of projectiles and stuff. So it's gonna be weird seeing how they work that into Tekken Cross Street Fighter, but it's gonna be cool. I'm really looking forward to it. Next up, Ninja Gaiden 3. Big fan of Ninja Gaiden. It's just bloody insane and awesome. You got your big ass sword and just cutting dudes up like a motherfucker. Got Borderlands 2. Big fan of the original Borderlands. And it's going to be cool seeing how they expand that out. Hoping they have a dude with an animal so I can play as him again. I was a hunter in the original Borderlands. Bioshock Infinite. First Bioshock was fucking fantastic, and this one looks even more insane. It's going to be dealing with jingoism, so it'll be nice to see how that all fails. And then finally, this one is actually my most anticipated. I'm so fucking looking forward to this game. Sly Cooper Thieves in Time. Sly Cooper is one of my favorite series ever. I fucking love that. I played through the original three games 7 times each, and I cannot wait for Thieves in Time. Okay, so Bowie, your list.
All right, my list. Once again, in no particular order. I'm going to say I have no technology on here, mostly because I must admit that I will never end up buying any of it until it's old. And to be honest, nothing's really been announced I'm that interested in.
Yeah, when they announce the Xbox 4, you'll get the Xbox. You'll get the third Xbox.
Yeah, something like that. The only exception I made, and I still regret it, was I got the Xbox 360 when it was new. Had I waited a few months, I would have paid so much less money.
If I had waited a day, I would have paid so much less money and gotten a twice as size hard drive.
Yeah, that's a big difference. But yeah, that's one of the reasons I wait a long time. That, and I don't have money. I cannot even afford to keep new games in my library. I can't really afford a new system. But anyways, on to games that I'm anticipating for 2012, in no particular order. Max Payne 3. Now, I actually have some mixed feelings about this one. I do love the Max Payne series. I love the fact that there's another one coming out, but there does seem to be a bit of a disconnect from the previous ones.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to follow all the same themes. Max Payne has gotten a bit fat.
He's bald.
Although I do think I'm probably going to enjoy this game.
Mm-hmm.
Diablo 3. I fucking love Diablo. I used to spend a lot more hours on it than I do now, mostly because now...
What was that?
Sorry, I forgot about Diablo 3. I didn't mean to fuck you up.
Anyways, so yeah, I spend less time than I normally would because I have my 360, I have all these other games to play, I tend to forget about it. But if I have any time when I'm looking for something to play on the PC, that's usually what I turn to. Okay. And this next one, I know I shouldn't be looking forward to it. I know it makes me Bungie's bitch, but Halo 4.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm not really looking forward to Halo 4, but I am interested by it.
Yeah, it's almost the same with me. See, I have the bad position of not being a lot familiar with a lot of franchises, and a lot of what's coming out now are continuations.
But, like, Never Dead, Azura's Wrath, Last Guardian.
Yeah, you got a point. But yeah, Halo 4, I do enjoy the Halo games. If nothing else, it will have some kick-ass multiplayer.
Yeah, they're enjoyable games.
Yeah, the only issue I ever have with them is sometimes the campaigns suck.
Yeah, sometimes they're a little bland, and they do have that weird disconnect of having, like, characters being immortal in gameplay, but then, like, taking one shot in the knee, and then all of a sudden they're out of commission forever in cutscenes.
Oh, and the worst one is in Halo Reach.
Yeah, Cat's death.
Yeah, Cat's death. One shot from a needle rifle.
Yes, just fucking... Like, she took... I saw... I'm not kidding. I saw it in that campaign. She took shots from Revenants. Just shot after shot after shot. Got hit by the Revenant. And it's absolutely fine. But then needle rifle, boop!
Yeah.
Gah.
So yeah, I don't really enjoy the campaigns too much, but the updates to the multiplayer, you know, it's enough to warrant a new Call of Duty game, so it's enough to warrant a new Halo game.
Yeah, plus new Griffball.
Yeah, new Griffball. Always new Griffball. next up is Fall of Cybertron. Honestly, after seeing that trailer, I'm just like, this is what the Transformers movie should look like. I have to play this game to help.
Oh, but yeah, that's all. Yeah, but that's all like a that was all CG. It didn't actually show any gameplay. So for all you know, could be shit.
I'm hoping they're gonna at least partially keep up. Plus, I do enjoy Transformers.
Transformers are enjoyable as long as like you don't. As long as like you take them with the right level of seriousness.
Yeah. I'm just hoping it will, you know, somewhat redeem. What's been done to them with the live-action movies.
Yes, I sincerely doubt that there will be black twins, testicles on Destructicon, and the Matrix of Leadership looking like a weird tribal tattoo on some douchebag's arm, and the main character going to robot heaven.
Yeah, interesting thing. Oh, I'll talk about that in movies. Anyways, I also had The Darkness 2. I haven't actually played the first, but I hadn't even heard of the first until I saw the trailer for the second at Dig.
The first one's really good.
Yeah, I have it on my rental queue. It'll show up here eventually. So yeah, I really want this game, especially since every day I walk by one of the places where they're developing it. they have two locations in London now, and I walk by one of them like pretty much every day, and I'm like, damn, it looks like fun. They have a ping pong table in there.
Why don't you go and see if you can get an interview?
I don't think I have any job I could do there, yeah. But I could always apply.
No, I mean, go in there and see if you can interview them about The Darkness 2.
Just interview them about the game? I could try.
You just go in there and say, hey,
I can't go in. You can't just go in there, but...
Well, they don't have a receptionist?
They have a locked door.
Ah.
So I could try and contact them.
You could stand outside with a boombox and a sandwich board. You just say, hey, can I interview you about The Darkness 2? Then just play like that song from anything, from like that John Cusack movie. You never know, it might work.
Yeah, the quad wielding looks cool. It all looks really fucking awesome. Just... The trailers drew me in with all the images of people being ripped apart by shadow powers.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be like delving more into like the comic mythology, like bringing with like the Dark Sect or whatever the fuck they were called. Yeah, because those guys, they were like a big force. They were doing everything they could to try to control the darkness with Jack Estacado. And yeah, it actually does look really cool.
So anyways, next one on my list is Assassin's Creed 3. I've heard the negative things about Revelations. I'm still hoping, like Shax, that it will turn out well. Mm-hmm. And really use the technology available to it.
Yeah, I mean, that series does still have some legs to it. Like, it could go places.
Yeah. Totally could.
They just need to, like, take out the stupid tower defense and the bomb crafting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no more bombs. Fuck bombs. This is Assassin, not Terrorist.
I'd be happy with that.
Yes, so Ubisoft, if you're listening, you know what to do.
It's not Terrorist Creed.
Yes, it's Askaskin's Creed. You know, if you're going to have bombs, maybe do like the ones from Mission Impossible, like little tiny ones that you just like shoot a needle into the back of their head and it just like explodes and like destroys their brainstem, but from the inside so no one notices. Think about it.
So, anyways, the next one on my list is Hitman Absolution. I do enjoy the Hitman games, although I know they can get frustrating after a point. I think it will be good and enjoyable. The trailer wasn't very gameplay-y. It was also very cinematic-y.
It's also very sneaky.
Yes, but if the in-game graphics look anything like that, then it'll be good. And if the combat system is anything like that, which it probably won't be, but...
Yeah. Okay, so do you have anything else about me?
Yeah, I have three more on my list. I actually did an actual 10.
I wasn't sure. Like, I did 10, but I wasn't counting yours.
Yeah. I've got Prey 2. Once again, never played the first one, but it looks pretty awesome. That's another one where the trailer is fairly cinematic, but it almost looks like the gameplay could look that good. Yeah. Like, it looks like it could translate very well into gameplay.
Yeah, Flyer for Prey 2 came in one of the games I got for Christmas.
Right. Yeah, it looks cool. You know, space bounty hunter.
You got yourself a toque.
Yeah, toque. For you American listeners and for Shax, a toque is a hat that you wear in the winter. A beanie? Is that what they call it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what they call it. It's either like a beanie or a cap or something.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Like a wool knit cap.
Yeah. The proper word is toque.
Yeah, toque, motherfucker.
Yeah, beanie is the...
Yeah, just like it's called French... That's what they call French fries, not Liberty Sticks.
Tomato, tomato.
Anyways, moving on. Bioshock Infinite. It looks really cool.
I can't pose an argument with a 5-second delay.
Yeah, whatever. You're arguing toque, so whatever.
If you're arguing two Canadians...
So anyways, Bioshock Infinite, that looks really cool. You know, you still got plasmids, you've got the ability to hang on those rail things, the graphics look awesome, the trailers are very much gameplay.
Yeah, like the more recent ones are.
Yeah, the first ones weren't, but they don't look that much different from the gameplay trailers.
Yeah, like aside from just like looking a little bit pre-rendered.
Yeah. So, the final one on my list is Mass Effect 3. I have the shame of actually not having yet played anything in the Mass Effect series.
Blasphemer!
I know, like I said, it's another one of my rental queue. I don't have money to buy games.
Just a word of advice, well, Mass Effect 1, while it does have a great story, it is broken as fuck.
It is broken as fuck, okay.
Yeah, like the Mako, that thing controls like a person with like fucking down. When the Mako, it feels like you're fucking driving with a person with like MS or something, like Parkinson's, like driving all over the fucking place, like you're holding forward and it's going sideways. Like there are parts where like the frame rate just all of a sudden cuts out. Like there was one boss fight I was in the middle of, like, all right, so I'm gonna do this. All of a sudden it drops to like one frame a second. There are times where you just, like, get stuck on nothing, like a character manager just freezes and all you can do is turn. It's really fucking broken. Like, the texture pop-in is fucking terrible. But yeah, the game is technically broken, but aesthetically amazing.
Um, But yeah, interestingly enough, despite the fact some of the head developers were at Dig, the only thing I learned about Mass Effect 3's actual development there is that part of it is being developed in one place. Is that the single player and the multiplayer being done in different studios? That's literally all they said. The rest of the time they talked about what it's like to run or start a new office. It was really, Dig was very much business oriented rather than telling what's going on with our game oriented.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much how to run your business.
Okay. So, that went by faster than I thought it would. So,
How long did that take? Was almost less than an hour, okay.
Yes, I figured it would take at least an hour and a half.
Wow, you were planning for a long fucking podcast.
Yes, I was. Yeah, so, well, moving on, I guess we'll go on to games we have played. So, Shax, since you are the furthest behind, what games have you been playing over the break?
I was playing WoW for a while there, continuing on that. I haven't touched it in, like, the last 2 weeks, though. My character's, like, level 30 now, I think. I really don't remember. Right now, WoW is on a back burner for me. I finally played Cursed Crusade. I was pleasantly surprised by the demo for that game. So far, I was able to play it, and the game is busted. It is a horrible fucking game. It's horrible. I'm pissed off that I was fooled by it. That game is so fucking broke. I mean, there's rips, there's tears, there's glitches. The voice acting is fucking pitiful. It's fucking horrible. The story is inconsistent. It's non-existent. I feel like there's more than one writer to the game, except that they never shared notes or anything. I feel like they had like three people writing the same, like, different stories, and then someone decided to edit all of them together. I don't get it. The fighting was still fun when it worked. Your swords and shields and whatever you use break way too easy, so you're constantly swapping out other weapons with the Dig characters. The one problem with that is their swords, when they're fighting you, also get weak. So you could, you know, beat up a bunch of bad guys and go to, and your sword's like broken now, and you're like, oh shit, I need a new sword. And all the other swords around you are orange, which is like really bad. And it's like, oh, so I can pick up any of these swords, except if I do, I'll hit one guy and the sword's gonna break on me, so that's useless. it's just a really, really, really bad game. It was completely busted. There was more than three or four times that there's a scene or something to be happening, and it'll just glitch out, and I would have to restart the mission. Restart the mission, not like restart a checkpoint, which was completely stupid. It's like if you're gonna make a game where you have to restart the mission and not just from a checkpoint or something, at least make sure your game fucking works. That's any advice I'd give anyone for developing a game, not that I'm anyone to do such a thing, do that. You know, if your game's gonna be broke, make it so that there's a checkpoint every 5 seconds. It's a horrible game. If I had to score it, I'd give it a one. a half a point, because the fighting was still fun. Just beating the shit out of bad guys was still fun. And the other half a point would be because when you're in the demon view or whatever it's called, I'm not going to go into explaining that, things look cool. It looked like a hell version of Tron, I guess, is the best way I can put it. It looks cool. So, yeah, I'll give it a one. And let's be very, very courteous to that game. I almost want to take a point away for making myself play it. And like, if I was forced to play that game, like, if you were like, hey, play this game, I'm paying you to play this game, you need to review this game, I would take a point off and make it a zero for you making me play that game. I played Apples to Apples.
Oh.
I downloaded it on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, I watched a bunch.
That was one of.
I watched a bunch
of
dudes.
One of the games that I had on my.
I watched a bunch of dudes play that game, and it looks really fun.
It is a lot of fun. It's a blast. I played it originally a couple years ago with my girlfriend at the time, when it was just a tabletop game. We played it like with her family at Christmas, and like she'd have her friends come over or something. She'd want to play it. As fun as it is, she for a second there was really fucking getting on my nerves with it, cause it's like all the time playing it. But it is a really, really fun game. It's very addictive. The PlayStation Network version, the single player, I think is pretty stupid. It's totally different from the multiplayer version or the tabletop version. I'm not even going to explaining it because I really don't understand it. Other than you gotta like guess words and then like spell out the words, kind of like crossword puzzle style. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't make sense to me. It's nothing like the games that I know of, Apples to Apples. But the multiplayer is a lot of fun. The problem I found with the multiplayer is finding people that play it. Way too many times I've tried playing that game, and I'll go into a quick match or make a match or find a match and just come up with nothing. You know, no, there's no matches to be found, and it's like, come on. Like, really, nobody owns this game? Like, I don't know. But it's a lot of fun. I put it on my honorable mentions list because it is a really, really fun game. It can be a great family game. It can be a great game for friends to sit around and play together. It's a fun game. That's it. And my last game is Star Wars The Old Republic. The Old Republic has consumed my life. It is the dark side, and I am Anakin Skywalker. The only difference is I don't want to be called fucking Annie because I'm not a chick. man, where do I start with this game?
I think you covered classes, enough in your...
Let me just start with character creation. Oh, no. No. I just talked about how awesome of a game it is. I didn't talk about anything about what you can do in that game and what makes it so amazing.
Okay, are you going to tell us?
Waiting for the delay. Okay, let me start real quick with the character creator. There's a handful of different races and races, you know, aliens and stuff that you could play as for the Empire or the Republic. There's no Chewie. I can't think of what race he is.
Wookiee.
There's no Ewoks. That's a bummer for both of us. I was really hoping for a race, Greedo. I was kind of hoping to make a Greedo bounty hunter, but that race isn't in there. Basically, the races that they have is anything that speaks English. You don't pick anything that doesn't speak English. And I think that probably has to do with the dialogue system for the Old Republic. I mean, everything is spoken word. Every side mission that you pick up in this game is you talk to someone and they talk to you. They're like, hey, this is what's going on over here. And then you choose your answer of three different choices, and then your character talks to them, and everything's animated. It's so fucking well done. When you play with others, you get social points. So what it is like, say the three of us are playing, and one of us goes to get a mission from this guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, these guys over here, they found some wreckage, but there's a problem. I can't get a hold of them. I need you to go see what's going on for you. And each of us will be able to pick one of three choices of what we want to say, and then it does, like, a little dice roll in the corner, and whoever has the highest, their character says whatever. And then you get social points for that, which you can use later on in the game to buy different stuff, I guess. I haven't looked into that at all. But that's kind of cool. It, you know, kind of gives you, you know, you still got that feeling of in-depth feeling when talking to NPCs. And it also gives you, you know, feeling of like you're with a crew of guys. You know, you each have your little part in the conversation. It's kind of cool. I haven't found any raids, and they have like dungeon type things that are kind of like sectioned off from the regular world, and you could tell they're sectioned off because it's kind of like a green, hazy force field look to them. Usually those are heroics. And usually those are for groups of like 2+ heroics or 4-person heroics. Those are kind of cool. A lot of times it can be hard to find a group of people. And when you do find a group of people, there's problems with it. A lot of people are DPS. I found that it's hard to find a tank. Healers are kind of a minority, but I've been finding more and more healers over the last week or so that's nice. But tanks are still a hard find, which can really suck for, like, the 4-man heroics. You can get a group together. You can get a group of, like, 3 DPS and a healer, but when you go into these heroics, the bad guys just start going after the healer. And it can fuck up your whole world really, really quick. I mean, and badly, too, because you could be, like, 3 or 4 levels ahead of these bad guys in this heroic dungeon or whatever you want to call it, and they can still fucking just swamp you and kick your ass. So, yeah, people, start making more tanks, please. Like, I've gotten to the point now where people are like, oh, looking to make a group for such and such heroic 4. I'm like, do you have a tank or are you a tank? Like, I ask these questions and like, they're like, no. I'm like, if you find a tank, I'll join. let's see, there's space battle. There's, like, dog fighting. Old school, it feels old school. You know, like World War II or World War I kind of space fighting. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds weird that I just said it that way. But
yeah, you know, all those memorable space battles in WWE. It's really
awesome. What it is like, like you just kind of like move your mouse around, and the cursor is like your crosshairs, and wherever you move that around, kind of like your spaceship follows. At first, like the first 5 seconds doing it, it kind of feels weird, but then it's just so easy to get into it. And yeah, it's a blast. Like you got like, you know, fire pilots flying at you and from behind you, and you got like little things that they want you to do. Like you'll come up to like a big floating starship and it's like blow up, you know, 10 turrets and 5 landing gears or whatever and shit like that, and like kill 60 of these spaceships flying around, and it's a blast, and you get a lot of XP for doing that. A lot of XP. It's kind of weird, because, like, the first time I did it, because you get your spaceship at, like, somewhere between level 10 and 15. I'm not exactly sure where. And, like, the first couple that I did, I leveled up, like, one level per mission for, like, the first 2 or 3 missions. It was just crazy XP. I mean, that alone makes it worth it, but, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, you know, like if you're a Star Wars fan, and you know, like if you like the KOTOR series, I only played KOTOR 2. I never played the first one, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. And Mass Effect, you know, if you're into that, so basically if you're into anything BioWare, play this game. You too play this game. Now, I say you two play this game, but you guys definitely will need to, like, upgrade your computers or something, because I bought the game, and it was choppy as fuck. It was just complete chop suey for me, and I called up my cousin, and he was like, sounds like you need a new video card. So I ended up going to Best Buy and buying the $100 video card, and it works good. Sucks that basically I paid extra $100 just to play this game.
See, I can't just upgrade my computer. I would have to, like, completely build a new one.
Yeah, same here. Like, mine's a laptop, and, like, I'm pretty sure the graphics card is integrated into the motherboard, so I can't just replace it at will, so I'd have to, like, go and spend a couple $1,000 on a new computer.
Oh. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Shaq, did you play anything else?
I think he said that's it.
No, that was it for me.
Oh, okay. So, Bobby, what do you play?
You probably guys were said something, like, as I was saying it.
Anyways, yeah, I've basically been playing three new games over the past little while. I won't really be able to remember all the ones I've played again that I've already been playing. But we'll start with the one that's not obvious. Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm 2. I haven't actually played a lot of it because I got simultaneously Skyrim and Battlefield 3. Hmm. But I have been playing it. Well, compared to the last Naruto game I played, which was The Broken Bond, after which playing, I thought I would never play one of these games again. I decided to give this one a chance because it looked good, it has really good reviews, and I gotta say, so far it hasn't disappointed me. It's been really good so far, actually. The battle system is, like, 100 times improved. They threw in a lot more quick time events, though.
Hmm.
There's, like, a shitload of quick time events, but they fit. The navigation around the game is different, too. It's very Final Fantasy.
Hmm.
So, yeah, exactly like that.
So random battles?
Oh, no, there's not really random battles. They actually took those out.
Oh.
Yeah.
This game
That's
sounds,
an improvement.
This game seems more interesting to me now.
Yeah. The navigation is Final Fantasy, but there's no random battles. So anyways, because it covers, it starts in Shippuden and covers such a huge chunk of it, all the way up to the end of the Pain arc, there's not really any need for that annoying filler shit.
Ah, thank God.
Like,
no,
you'll get the,
no doing that fucking funeral guy.
Yeah, you get the occasional side mission. Most of them are optional. Occasionally there's one you have to do, but it's over in a couple minutes, and it's not really stupid. It's just like, you're off to do a mission. Here's a mission. Okay, I did it. Done. And it's usually to introduce another set of side missions that are optional. So it's not too bad for that. It's mostly sticking to the main storyline, pretty much because the way they did this game is they released it right as the anime caught up to where it was.
Oh, cool.
So it actually covered such a huge section of it. So there's actually another Ultimate Ninja Storm coming out in 2012, so I'm guessing it's going to be the same thing. So since I'm not caught up with the manga, I have no idea where this game's going to go, because right when it releases, the anime will probably be just catching up with it. Which is why they don't include any of the filler arcs,
mm-hmm.
because they don't know about them as they're developing the game.
Hmm. Okay, so what else?
Battlefield 3
obviously.
And Skyrim.
Obviously.
So yeah, let's talk a little more in depth about Skyrim, because there's not really a lot more to say about Battlefield 3. See, I mostly enjoy it. I've occasionally come into some glitches with my shouting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, either I'll press the button and I'll not shout, and I'll sit there mashing the button to shout, and I won't shout, mm-hmm. and then finally I'll do it, and it'll be like, shit, I didn't need it there. And then...
Yeah, I've had that kind of sometimes, like, I'll just, like, I was like, we mash on the button, and it'll say like you cannot shout while casting a spell, but I'm not casting a spell. There are times where I do the shout, but the effect doesn't happen. Like I'll go close, Roda, but then the guys don't go anywhere.
Yeah, that happens to me sometimes. Like my guy will shout and nothing will happen.
I've had situations where I've been in a town and set my controller down, and then I do a shout and I just like blow everyone in the city away, and then I have to restart from my last save point.
Ninja Kitty was pointing something out to me about Skyrim that she doesn't like, and that's half the shopkeepers you talk to, you can't just buy shit from them. You have to go and do some sort of quest for them.
Really? Every shop you have her in a dude just says, like, okay, here's some shit you can buy.
Yeah, I buy that mostly, too. I think she had a really long run of bad luck that
way. A couple want me to do stuff with that stuff.
Yeah, she was just going to different towns trying to talk to different shopkeepers for specific types of items, and everyone she ran into had some reason or other that they needed her help. And yeah, you're right, the majority of shopkeepers are fine, but it's annoying when you want to buy, you know, I'm specifically looking for alchemy items, so I go to this alchemy store, and it's like, can you help me find my jar of milk?
Is that your old guy voice?
That was supposed to be my old woman voice, but...
Oh, Shani, can you help me find my old jar of milk? Can't step to this, bitch.
Your old lady sounds Irish.
I say she is Irish, me funny boy. Don't you know every old woman is Irish?
I think I've said it before, but not on a podcast, that, The actual the dialogue system, it's a lot better. Like, they've mostly improved the whole feeling of nothing can happen while I'm talking to this person. The only downside being that sometimes important storyline dialogue will be going on, and some random person will walk up to you and be like, the weather's being really strange in Skyrim today. I hope there's not dragons.
Yeah, like there's one video I saw of like some guy who's like talking to a guy. He's doing like that to the air when they do, then all of a sudden a dragon just flies out of nowhere and grabs him. Like mid conversation, just like boom, his torch just drops where he was standing.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Then I took an arrow in the knee.
I used to be an adventurer like you, but then I boom.
There's one situation where I was going to the city, and I guess I was kind of coming in the back way because I wasn't going through the main gates. I was going over this hilltop, and I don't remember the city was up in the northern part. And as I'm walking up over this hill to get to the city, there's three guards that were walking towards the city, and I was kind of like walking up, and I did to them what I do with anyone, you know, I try to talk to them. And like, as I get up to them, they're like, go on, get out of here, basically. They're like, you know, it's best that you move, or some shit like that. So I'm like, finally, I'm like, all right, fine, fuck you guys, whatever. So then I just keep running past them and going to town, and there's this lady, and she's yelling at some guy who's walking away, and he's kind of got like sad, feel like, whatever, bitch, like, I'm divorced, ass, whatever. And then, like, I go to talk to her because I'm like, usually that happens when there's a mission. So, like, as I'm talking to her, I hear the commotion of the guards in the background continue to say, God, move along, move along. And I'm like, all right, these assholes are already coming into town, and they see me, so I guess their little radar's going off to tell me to move along again, which I'm not understanding why this is happening. And then, I'm just ignoring that, and I'm just going through my choices of what I'm saying to the lady. All of a sudden, these guys start attacking me. And, like, before I know it, the whole city, like, all the guards and everything are just attacking my character. What the fuck's going on? So I had to restart for my last save, and then I go back into town, and everything's copacetic. Everything's cool. Guards don't say shit to me.
Wow, dude, that is
weird.
Up. Okay, so, but wait, what else? Is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it for what I've been playing.
Okay, so I guess on to me. So, I got a lot of games over the break, and so I'm just going to name every game I got and then talk about whichever ones I've been playing. So, I got Saints Row the Third, Batman Arkham City, Skyrim, Portal, Portal 2, Monkey Island, Monkey Island 2, Sideway, Bastion, I, Divine Cybermancy, Katawa Shoujo, and Enslaved Odyssey to the West. As I've said to these guys before, I cleaned fucking house.
Yeah, I got two games and a cooking skillet.
Okay, so
I got a lot of socks.
Okay, so I guess I'll just Saints Row is Saints Row is Saints Row, Batman is Batman, Skyrim is Skyrim, Portal is Portal, Portal 2 is Portal 2. So I guess I'll move on to the other games that I mentioned. So Monkey Island.
Hold on, I know this is going to be late. I think Saints Row is Saints Row. You're kind of taken away from it a little bit. I mean, that game is a little nuttier than your average Saints Row.
Well,
remember Purple Film, though.
Yeah, again, yeah. So, yeah, like, you go into Saints Row expecting shit to be crazy.
Oh,
and
true.
Shit is crazy.
Yeah.
In Batman, you go in expecting kick-ass combat and some awesome stealth stuff. You go in there getting kick-ass combat and awesome stealth stuff. In Skyrim, you expect arrows in the knees and dragons. You get arrows in the knees and dragons.
You haven't beat Saints Row, have you?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the last mission, dude. Like, wait, did you... Just my last mission. Did you save the girls or go kill Kilbane?
I think I saved the girl.
Yeah, so did I. And then, like, that last fucking mission in space.
Yeah.
It was fucking insane.
Space. I'm gonna go to space. Space.
Yeah, but this time you're on Mars.
Spoiler alert.
it is fucking awesome. Fucking Josh Burke hammered it up as Johnny Gat. It was fucking awesome. Okay, well, yeah, Portal has been out for years. You guys fucking know what Portal is. Same with Portal 2. So, Monkey Island, most people know what Monkey Island is. It is a old adventure game from LucasArts before they decided to make nothing but Star Wars shit. And it's an old school point click adventure game, and it's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I haven't played Monkey Island 2 yet because I have yet to beat Monkey Island 1. So I'll get back to you on that. So next up is Sideway, New York. So this game, I talked about it before. It is really interesting. It's you're playing as this graffiti artist named Knox, who like his friend Cassie goes missing, and then he gets sucked into a magical billboard and ends up in Sideway, which is like a version of New York that like exists on all flat surfaces of New York, and everything's made of paint. And so, like, you have to, like, go around, you try to defeat Spray, who's, like, the ruler of Sideway, and he has your friend Cassie, you have to, like, go through Sideway and then try to save Cassie from Spray. And it's, like, an old-school style platformer, like, you know, like, moveset, like, it's all, like, two-dimensional movement, you got, like, attacks, you got, like, the dash, you got, like, slide dash, you got, double jump, there's collectibles everywhere, there's secret collectibles, there's unlockable powers. It is really fun. Like, it looks really amazing. Like, and it's really cool because, depending on which wall you jump onto, the gravity shifts. And, like, so, like, let's say you're on this one plane. So, let's say you're on this one plane where, like, gravity is doing it so that you are falling towards, like, the bottom of the screen. But then you, like, jump up on a wall. You jump up on the wall to the right, and then all of a sudden, the bottom of your screen is now what was the left side of your screen now. And so it's getting into that, like, there are boxes you have to move, so then you have to, like, figure out how to shift the gravity around to get it so that you can move the boxes and advance through all the different environments and stuff. And it is really cool, like, the way it all works out. Yeah, the game actually just does look amazing. Like, all the tagging stuff, like, there's, like, little glob things, there's, like, bombs, there's dudes with, like, tentacle arms inside, like, steel cages. There's, like, floating cats with rockets on their backs. That if you hit them, they explode.
Meow.
Yeah, you get, like, paint grenades. You get, a downward dash thing, like a butt stomp, essentially. It's a really fucking amazing game. And I highly recommend it for anyone who hasn't played it. Okay, so moving on to Bastion. This is the... This is the first game from Supergiant Games, which is made up by a bunch of dudes who worked on, I think, Command & Conquer Red Alert 3. I know at least one of them did. Yeah, and so you're playing as the kid. You're from this place called Cylandia, which like was destroyed in this thing called the Calamity. And so all left was just like the world. As you move around, the world just forms under your feet. And then you're trying to like bring the cores to back to the Bastion, like rebuild the last vestige of the Cylandians. And the entire time there's like this, there is dynamic narration going on. It's some guy who sounds a lot like Ron Perlman in Fallout, is just like narrating everything you do, like just all the squirts are going out there, but like activate a power that like brings squirts onto your side. And it's like, but some squirts is friendly, and it actually calls back to stuff you did in previous levels in the game, and it all works out. It all plays really well. It's like all done from like an isometric perspective, and it. Like, while some of the movement is a little bit janky, like, I've been using just keyboard and mouse, and so, like, the problem of having two-dimensional movement within three-dimensional space is a little bit weird. But, yeah, it's a cool game. It's really cool. The music is great. The narration is really awesome. The narration is really cool. The gameplay is solid. Yeah. So, moving on to Divine Cybermancy. I don't know what's happening in that game. Like, I start out, alright, so we wait. Like, oh, I feel woozy. I just walk away. I guess I did kill a mentor, but I didn't murder him. I guess I did murder my mentor, but I did not kill him. And then you walk through this giant green glowing archway thing, and all of a sudden you're in this weird place where, like, shooting dudes and shit, and there's, like, weird, horrible monsters coming out everywhere. And then, like, I have no idea what the fuck the story is going on in the game, but I can't stop playing. It's so cool. It's like Deus Ex, but French. Well, yeah, so I've been on Cybermancy. I might be doing something with that later.
All in French?
No, like people talk in French, but all the text and stuff is in English.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and like I'm not even sure they're speaking like proper French. I'm pretty sure they just say stuff that sounds French. Moving on to Katawa Shoujo. This is a dating sim made by 4chan. So, I'm pretty sure that Katawa Shoujo, like, roughly translates to disfigured girl.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and so you play as a kid who has, like, the thing called cardiac arrhythmia. It's a heart condition. And so then you end up going to a school for disabled people. And in your class, there is a girl who cannot talk. There is one who has no arms. There's one who has no legs. There's one who has burns all over half of her body. There's one who might have, like, Asperger's or, like, something. I don't know. But she's fucking crazy. And yeah, so you just... Yeah, it's like, but this game, it isn't like one of those really weird Eroge games. It's like an actual, honest to goodness, just dating sim. There is nothing dirty, there's nothing really eshy about it. It's just, you know, get to know these girls and develop a relationship with them over the course of this game. And it's like, it's a little weird that this game is from 4chan. Because I figured if this game was from 4chan, you'd spend the entire game raping these women. No, it's just, you know, get to know them and then develop a relationship with them and actually get feelings for these characters. And it's really cool.
Well, I'm exactly the same as you. I expected the worst as soon as you said 4chan. Mm-hmm. And then the words disfigure girl just made it seem so much worse.
But no, it's actually a really sweet, like, actually, like, tugs at your heartstrings sometimes. And it's free. So I definitely recommend this game. Like, if you are into, like, the visual novel style dating sim games, I highly recommend it. Yeah, and so then, moving on to my final game, Enslaved, Odyssey to the West. So, this game is based off that classic fable that I'm sure scholars and common men alike know. Of course, I'm talking about Dragon Ball by Akira Toriyama. But they're like... So it's actually based off like an old Chinese fable called The Journey to the West, which Dragon Ball was also based off of. And so in the role of Son Goku, we have Monkey, who is actually voiced and mocapped by Andy Serkis of Lord of the Rings and Rise of the Planet of the Apes fame. Then so what happens is like you're in dystopic future New York. Robots have taken over and they are capturing people to use as slaves. Through the use of these headbands. And so you are on a prison transport ship with you break out after a girl who is called Tripitaka, who is also voiced and mocapped by the chick that plays Moe's on Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide, because fuck you, I like that show.
I like it too.
Yeah, and so she is in the role of Bulma as the tech savvy bitch. And so the ship you are on crashes, and then Trip, yeah, she goes by Trip. She places a slave headband on Monkey's head, and then forces him to transport her safely back to her home. And so along the way, you will fight robots with a magical staff. You will ride around on something he calls a cloud, but Trip cannot ride on the cloud. And you meet a pig person who wants desperately to bone Trip.
Yeah, I can see the connections to Dragon Ball here.
Yes, and the pig guy is named Pigsy. And so he has a mechanical pig's nose and a mechanical pig's ear attached to his head. And a sniper rifle, because he's a coward. So yeah, this game is actually really good. Like the character animation is really fluid and awesome. Like Ninja Theory, they're the guys who developed it. They are really heavy into like the very like animation heavy games. But that does kind of like sacrifice technicality at some points. Like there's texture pop in and some frame rate issues. But the game is actually really good. It's a little bit short though. I beat it in like 6-7 hours. But that was on normal too. So, but yeah, the game is good.
Hmm. Wow.
The game is good, though. I do recommend it. And yeah, it is really weird. Like, it eventually gets to the point where, like, there are, like, certain things where it does start running around, and all of a sudden just turns into, like, an FMV sequence for a couple seconds. And it is really cool. I actually really dig this. I actually really like those sequences, and I really do dig this game. The ending is insane. And I will not spoil it, but let's just say Andy Serkis shows up. But I do highly recommend this game. It is a fantastic game. I got it for like $15. So you can probably find it for much cheaper out there. And so yeah. So yeah, that's all I played. So moving on to
real quick before you move away from anything. I just want to say that I'm pleasantly surprised that there is no uproar with that game with the fact that the guy's name is Monkey and that he's a slave. I'm happy that nothing was ever said about that. And you guys know what way I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Considering, you know, what happened with the guy here in London who threw a banana at a hockey player. He got called a racist.
Oh,
he's not a racist, he's just an idiot.
Oh yeah, like this isn't, you know, like if you actually know like the story, like just thinking of like Dragon Ball, like that kid, like Goku was essentially a monkey, and then like this guy, and he's white, like he is white as it comes, and like the original story, like a monkey king, an actual physical magical monkey is forced to be essentially a slave to a monk on his pilgrimage. So there's that, like there isn't any kind of racist tone to it at all.
Okay.
And, you know, like, the slave thing?
Yeah, I think what Shaq's saying is he's surprised someone did just pull it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if someone on N4G had started a thread about this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, there isn't any real problem, because, like, the slave the slave thing doesn't really come in that much. Like, aside from one bit at the very beginning where she says, command, stop, command, get away from me. That is about everything the slave headband does. Other than that, the slave headband, it is essentially just your HUD. You know, like, gives you your shield rating, your health rating, shows you where mines are, shows you, like, what targets to shoot. Right. That's about all the slave headband does.
Right on.
Yeah, so moving on to some news. So, we have some news. There is one really big piece of news that I'm going to be getting to at the very end, because it is heavy. But let's just get through the normal shit first. So CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, started today, and the first thing that they have showed off, well, one cool thing that they showed off, is called the iCade. So it is a platform for your iPhone and iPod Touch, which turns it into essentially a controller with a screen. So you can just plug in your iPhone and iPod and stuff. You turn it sideways. It gives you a D-pad, a four controller button thing, and then four shoulder buttons too. And so then you will be able to use this as like an actual game. You'll be able to use this as an actual controller for iPad game for iPhone games instead of just like having to do with like that really shitty on-screen button stuff. So like any game that has like the on-screen like button overlay, eventually developers of those kind of games will be like work with Ion Audio to get this thing working. But like won't affect like the games with like the touchscreen stuff where it's like swiping, those games people play like regular iPhone games. But then like the games where it has like button overlays and stuff, you'll just plug into this thing and then just use the actual controller to play these games.
Yeah, there are several things out there that are kind of similar but not as complete.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. So it's good to see that being taken a step further. Not that I have an iPhone mm-hmm. or will have one anytime soon, but if I did, I would definitely see the value in this product, and so I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, so currently the iCade is only being like shown off with Velocispider and Super Mega Worm, but they are going to have more games as the thing starts getting closer to release. It's going to be coming out later this year. Hopefully more developers will start contacting these people and like getting support for this thing. And it's going to be retailing later this year for $80. So Shax, you have an iPhone, so what do you think of this?
Never mind. You'll hear my response in 5 seconds. I think it's a cool concept. I don't play much games on my iPhone. The most ones that I play is like card games, and once in a while I'll pull up my shit, I can't remember the name of the game. It's the game where you're a game developer.
Blocks That Matter?
$80 is too much. That's ridiculous.
Oh, well.
No.
So, moving on.
I can't think of the name of it right now.
So moving on. So, AT&T has revealed no contract data plans for the PS3G version of the PS Vita. Yes, so,
that'd probably be a good idea.
Yes, so, there'll be two plans being, offered. There's going to be a $15 a month plan for 250 megabytes of data, or $25 a month for 2 gigabytes. So it says, like the iPad, there'll be no contract thing. You just, turn on data whenever you want. You just, like, pay $15, get a month of 250 megabytes, or pay $25 and get 2 gigs, and, like, at the next month you don't want any data, you don't pay. And you don't get data. So the Wi-Fi version, it will still be $250, and the 3G version is still $300.
Nothing about the 3G version sounds interesting to me. Like, all of that just sounds like more than I care to deal with. Like, I am completely happy with Wi-Fi. It's just, if I want to, I guess, you know, if I'm out and about somewhere with my Vita, I won't be able to play it online. And if I'm going to go somewhere, I better download my games before I leave the house. I have no interest in the 3G model.
Yeah, I can understand the 3G, like, I'm out somewhere, this game looks, I want to check, let's see if there's anything cool in the store. Or like, oh, I'm somewhere without Wi-Fi, I think I want to play some games online, but like, I am not really going anywhere where I want to play games online. I probably want to play games online in a handheld anyway.
All right.
So, moving on. So Interplay Studio, the original developers of Fallout 1, 2, and Fallout Tactics, have been like something. They're not making the Fallout MMO anymore.
Yeah, they're selling their rights to ZeniMax.
Yes, for $2 million.
I think is the name of the company, parent company.
Yeah, Interplay settled out of court with ZeniMax is paying $2 million to Interplay for undisclosed reasons. And while Interplay still holds the rights to Fallout 1, Fallout 2, and Fallout Tactics, they'll hold those rights until December 2013, but they will not be able to release any kind of MMO at all.
Yeah.
So, on to our final and heavy...
I guess I'm not too surprised that Bethesda's a little bit of a bitch with this. And I'm saying that out of context of... I really don't know what happened between the two companies that they couldn't settle on something. But, I mean, if Bethesda's going after a company for the name Scrolls, it's no surprise that they seem to have a stick up their ass about this whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on to our final piece of news and our heaviest piece of news. An Iranian-American game developer has been sentenced to death in Iran.
Okay, yeah, that's heavy.
Yeah, this is kind of sad.
Yes, so Amir Mirzai Hekmati, a former U.S. Marine and game developer, he went to Iran in August, like, of last year to visit some family, but then he was detained. And held prisoner. But then, last month, the Iranian government, like Iranian news, state news program, released a videotape of a man who was identified as Hekmati confessing that he was sent to Iran to sell some true information to the Iranian government to gain favor with them. And he was also being paid by the CIA while he was employed at Kuma Games to make propaganda games to help influence the West's opinion on the Middle East.
Mm.
So Iran's Revolutionary Court has found Mr. Hekmati guilty to be corrupt on earth and Mohaveb, which stands for waging war on God. And so according to the New York Times, which is just where the story originally came from, it is a formulation that is routinely used in cases against alleged enemies of the Islamic Republic, and the charge carries the death sentence. So the United States government has been trying to get Hekmati released because he's still an American citizen, but the Iranian government has refused, and the United States State Department has not been able to get anyone from the Swiss embassy into Iran because the Swiss embassy deals with American interests in the Middle East, well, in Iran specifically, and so for now Hekmati is scheduled to be executed. Yeah, so usually the editor of news articles, I put some like little joke or like a little paragraph, just me telling my thoughts on it. But I didn't for this one because I honestly cannot process this.
I just realized my mic was muted.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I missed that because I was too busy talking.
Bobby's mic was muted the entire time.
Yeah,
he was
with
to talk.
You. I really can't process this whole thing. It's kind of weird and crazy to me, but also, yeah, you're going to get a delay on me talking anyway, so I might as well shut up.
But, even not from the perspective that it's a video game designer, the tension between America and Iran is already really high. I mean, you've got tension with a country like America. You generally don't want to go executing their citizens.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Just from a purely political view, it's not generally your best move.
So people out there listening, what do you think of this? Go to our forums. Oh, yeah, Bogus News. We have fucking forums now. So yeah, go to the forums, like, type out some stuff. Let us know what you think of this. Like, is this, like, is this fucking insane? Like, what, like, why are they doing this? What do you guys think should be done? Like, anything, like, really, we want feedback for this. So, yeah, destroprods.com/forum. It's on there, posted under news. Let us know. So, I guess that's going to do it for news. And so, new releases, we decided, like, last year to do the, like, thing where we'd, like, look over the new release list and then just pick something that we think would be cool. Like, one thing. And so, like, have you guys looked over the new release list for this week, the next 2 weeks at all?
I was mostly distracted with my top five and top ten list.
No.
Okay, so I'm just looking at it now, and there's one game on here that looks kind of interesting.
I was distracted with Star Wars.
Because, yeah, just looking here, there's one game that I find interesting. It's called Amy. I think I reported on this a little while ago. It was originally going to be a like a PS3 exclusive, but it's also being released on PC and on the Xbox Live Marketplace. And so it's a... So just overview. The game centers around a virus that can turn its victims into zombie-like creatures, similar to those found in the Left 4 Dead series. The main character of the game is also a carrier of the virus. A large portion of the game revolves around making do with scarce supply for the cure, which can be found hidden in levels or as a reward. And the protection of a little girl named Amy, whom also shows the ability to cure the protagonist's ailment. So, yeah. So this game is kind of just like, there's a little girl named Amy. Keep her safe from weird zombies while you yourself are turning into a zombie. But yeah, I think
you said carrier.
What's the name of this game?
Amy. And the person is a carrier, but, like, they have the virus, and they can't transmit it to someone else, but they are eventually going to, like, the infection is slowly spreading in them, and, like, unless they, like, start dosing those with a cure, they will eventually turn into one of them.
Okay, so, I guess partial immunity or something?
No, just, like, the infection takes time, and if you give yourself some of the cure within a certain amount of time, you'll be able to stave off the infection.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and also, Amy has the ability to, like, push back the infection. So, yeah, there's that. And so I guess that's going to do it. Unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I got a 5-second delay or so, I don't want to talk about anything.
Okay, so then I guess that's going to do it for this first edition of the DestroProds.com Video Games Podcast of 2012. Shax will hear this 5 seconds later, so I'm guessing I'll just, like, let him not say goodbye to himself. But for Shax, I've been Dead.
Obi-Wan.
We'll see you guys next time.